Okay. Oh, by the way, before we get started, here's the $10 I owe you. What? I owe you 50? I don't think so.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Maybe it's 25, but it's not 50.
Whatever.
All right, 26 at the most, but that's it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Oh, thank you. Hi, how are you? Good to be with you again. Here, hold my hand. Come on, hold my hand. Ooh, what's the matter? What's the matter? Got a problem?
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm having a conflict with you. All right, here's... I don't know if you're allowed to do this, but I don't know. I haven't read the Constitution from the first word to the last word. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in between. But here's what I'd like to change. It's an amendment to the Constitution, and the amendment is, let's go over the Constitution again. Because I don't think we're following the damn thing. Here's the amendment I want to put in, that presidential elections have to take place every 2 years now, not four, every two. And the reason that I say, you're not going to ooh that.
Oh!
All right, that's better. The reason that I say that is because 2 years of crap can be very damaging. And I don't think anybody in this country really wants that. So, every 2 years, we have another presidential election. And you're saying, Ron, presidential elections are very expensive. Don't make me laugh. We have such a deep deficit that expensive doesn't even matter anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm really surprised that Trump hasn't just declared bankruptcy for the United States. It would clear all the debts to China and all that stuff because we owe them a lot of money. China owns us. Yeah. But if we declared bankruptcy and said we're going to go out of business, then we wouldn't owe any money to anybody. Of course, we wouldn't have a country left, but that's secondary. If there was an election every 2 years, then the president and everybody that you vote into office would have to be like really careful every day they wake up. You know, like the election's only like 2 years away, we better be good. You would do everything you can to make sure that you looked as good as possible. You'd have to do really good things continually. And I think that would be the proper barometer for this country, because 4 years is just way too long. I can get shipping from Amazon next day delivery. I mean, seriously, because I'm a Prime member. 4 years is a long time. In 4 years, your child can grow up. I mean, your newborn can be like driving in 4 years, I think. I'm not sure about the timing on that, but I think you get my point. 4 years is a long time. How many four-year segments do I have in my lifetime? Ooh, don't make me count. That would be too scary. No, 4 years is way too long for anything. What if your car wasn't running and you called up the service department at your car dealership and they said, yeah, we can look at your car in 4 years? You go, no. Well, it's the same thing. My country is breaking down. Well, Ron, you got 4 years before we can do anything about it. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I have a warranty. 4 years is a long time. God, can you imagine not having a cigarette for 4 years? Unheard of. I, by the way, have not met so many people. This is a totally different subject. Let's get off this one and get on to another. I have never met so many people in my life that smoke marijuana. I mean, I grew up in an age where everybody smoked marijuana. It doesn't compare to now. Everybody I know. Maybe I don't know the right people. Maybe I know too many people within the space of 4 years. I don't know. But everybody seems to. I'll be back in a few minutes. I'm going to go out in the back and smoke a joint. What? Excuse me? What? Oh, it's legal now. Did you know that, Ron? Yeah, I know. I heard. They made pot legal because alcohol is legal. So if alcohol is legal, why wouldn't pot be legal? Well, you're right. We should legalize everything because we can use that argument for everything. I mean, I don't know. I have nothing against smoking pot. I want you to do it in the privacy of your home. That's all. Do anything you want in your home. I mean, you can pluck out your fingernails if you want to. I don't care. I don't want to live in your home with you, but you do what you want in your home. But as soon as you step out into my territory, which is called public life, no. Oh, no. Every 4 years. That's a long time. Can you imagine being convicted in a court of law? Your sentence is 4 years. 4 years? That's a long time. 4 years is too long for anything. It's got to be two-year terms. Two-year terms, it's got to change right away. A new poll came out just yesterday that says 57% of the country disapproves of Trump's job performance. That means he should be fired right now. See, if Trump is so big on big business, where he sits at a board table on television and fires people, I think he should be able to take it as much as he can dish it out. I would love to sit at that boardroom table, bring in the president, say, Don, sit down for a second, we want to talk to you. We've taken a survey here amongst the rest of our employers, rest of the board, and your approval rating is like 57-60% of everybody on board of directors thinks you're crap, does not approve of what you're doing. So I have no choice but to let you go. Don, you're fired. Get out of here. Pack up your stuff by 5 o'clock and get the hell out of this place. 57-60% of people don't like you. They think you're doing a horrible job. Get out of my place. Pack your bags, baby. You're out of here. Go open up a hot dog stand somewhere on Madison Avenue in New York. That way, if you kill somebody, 30% of the people around you will still support you. I'll never forget that phrase. It was so true, it's not funny. The one piece of truth that Trump ever mumbled in his life was, my base will always support me even if I shoot somebody in broad daylight in New York City and I'm in Manhattan. Yes, Don, you're right. And you know how you knew you were right? Because a real con artist knows its people, knows how to con people, knows how many people he's conning. You're a real con artist. You know your stuff. Oh, congratulations, Don. But the shell game didn't work on me, and it didn't work on about 60% of America. Your shell game is not working. However, amongst Republicans, 78-80% of all Republicans support you, Don. Here's your problem, Don. Republicans are a small percentage of the United States population. You have Republicans, then you have independents, and then you have Democrats. When you put the independents and the Democrats together, your Republicans don't look too big. So I'd be concerned, Don. Anyway, I'm not here to talk politics. You can probably tell from what I'm saying that I don't exactly favor the douchebag in the White House. What immediately concerned me when he became president, he made his daughter a part of the cabinet. And I'm not talking about the chest of drawers in the bedroom. I'm talking about the actual cabinet where they decide like how we're going to end up. He appoints her, and then he also appoints her husband, his son-in-law, to a cabinet position as well. And he also appoints his namesake son, Donald Trump Jr., to a cabinet position as well. I mean, how come you're not laughing at that? That's funny. That's pathetically funny. How mafia is that? It should not be allowed. Let's go through the Constitution again. Let's figure this out. They didn't go far enough. They never thought that this crap would be happening. They couldn't conceive of this amount of crap. It's like a horse doing a turn on your lawn. I never put in the bylaws of the town that it's illegal for a horse to take a dump in your front yard if it's not your horse. We never thought that would happen. I mean, how do people just let horses run through suburbia and crap on people's lawns? We didn't put that into the constitution of the town. Who thought that would have happened? The forefathers, or I don't know how many fathers they had, they never thought that this crap would be happening. They couldn't conceive of an asshole this large. Assholes that can consume entire cities. Huge, huge cracks in the system. They didn't conceive of this. Ben Franklin, man. I loved his hair. Ben Franklin had long hair down to his shoulders. Like a girl. Back in those days. I thought that was so cool. Ben looked cool. Ben was the first hippie. Everybody else said, Ben, you're crazy. Cut your hair. Ben said, no, I like my hair long. I'm into it. And they said, oh, Ben, why don't you go fly a kite? He said, well, okay, I will. And he did and became famous for it. Not so much because of the results of flying the kite, but because there were a lot of kite festivals that took place after that. And kites are beautiful in a good wind. Of course, when hot air balloons came along, it kind of diminished the excitement of the kite. But Ben Franklin didn't fly hot air balloons. He flew a kite, you know. So it's different. I have a very interesting guest today. It's an extended interview, and we're going to speak to him momentarily. We're trying to get a good phone line. We're having a little trouble with that. His name is Tito. He's written a book, and in the book, he claims that he is the reincarnation of Nero. Or something like that. I don't know. I never comment on somebody's beliefs, unless it's the president. But other than that, it's like, okay, you know, your spiritual stuff is your spiritual stuff. You can't go after somebody's religion. And this apparently Tito was dying, and he was on his way to Deathland, and he was sent back by some entity as he was dying, and they said, no, it's too early for you to die. Go back into the world. And at that point, he learned stuff that he didn't know before with his near-death experience. He learned who he was and that we're all reincarnated. We just don't know it. But Tito found out who he was, and who he was quite extraordinary. So we're talking about reincarnation. That would be a carnation that comes back again. That's like when you buy somebody a flower, a carnation, and the flower dies, usually within a few days. That flower can come back, apparently. That's reincarnation. All right, that's enough stupidity. All right, we're going to speak to him and see if you hook up with what he's saying. I really don't know, but I'm going to be polite and nice because that's what I am as a human being. I'm a little grumpy, yes. When we come back, Tito joins us, Grumpy Pants.
Yes, of course you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hi, Tito.
Hi, Ron.
How are you today?
I'm perfect. Everything's going swimmingly.
Oh, fantastic. Tito Abad joins us. He's got over 50 years of experience in spiritual work, and now he's kind of helping us out with his experience in his new book, The Monograph of the Parallel Life of Tito Abad and Nero. This is... very interesting. You're known for yoga, as I understand it.
Right. I spent a number of years in yoga training.
Uh huh. Is the physical part of yoga necessary, or can we achieve all of this through meditation and through a body spiritual connection?
Well, it's a little kind of involved, but asanas help you when you are doing a lot of regression work.
Uh-huh.
You go into past lives and stuff like that. You start having energetic releases, and those asanas really help you to let the energy flow through your body so that you don't have a lot of really uncomfortable reactions.
Now,
it's helpful to have it.
Okay.
It's not necessary, but it's helpful.
It's helpful. Okay. Now, as far as the spiritual quest is concerned, I know that this book enters into the realm of near-death experiences.
I died in January of 2007, and as I was leaving my body, a voice said, "Please don't die."
Oh.
And after that, everything kind of became like I was under some kind of guidance.
Wow.
And I went to... Yeah. I went to... The first thing it did was it sent me to Monroe Institute in Farber, Virginia, was their astral travel and out-of-body experience training. Then I began to...
Yes, go on.
Yes?
No, go on.
Well, then I began to have notions of having past lives.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to regression practitioners. I used Dr. Brian Weiss and Dr. Michael Newton practitioners. I recommend them because I had good service from them. And that's what I discovered, that I was Roman Emperor Nero in 38 A.D. to 68 A.D.
Wow.
And I reincarnated on the planet Earth in the current era, roughly 2,000 years later, to make karmic restitution for two crimes against humanity. I ordered the execution of my mother, Agrippina, for sedition. I used imperial prerogatives to extort money from low-level aristocrats, build a magnificent palace on the ruins of a fire that gutted the center of Rome. I'm going to introduce a concept here that may not be familiar to a mainstream audience.
Right.
The words themselves are self-explanatory. My between-life agreement matrix for this life was to be the full-time caregiver to Dolores M. Hall, a.k.a. Agrippina, and to be stripped of my $1 million-plus inheritance by the, now I want people to really hold on to this word, because it's important, Roman Catholic Church. Yes, folks, today's Roman Catholic Church is the same gang I faced 2,000 years ago.
I would assume.
So I'm here to tell you there is no death. The parallel life of Tito Labao is your story. It's a template. You were headed into a grand finale in this life. Every one of you here on this planet is either going to be the beneficiary of a karmic debt or is going to repay a karmic debt as I did.
So deaths are only in a karmic realm.
Right. It's a transition, because in order for us not to know who we were, it takes a lot of adjustment. It took me 50 years to get used to the idea. So you can understand that when people start getting out of their present time relationship to the physical universe, things can get very crazy.
I guess so.
But the point is that death is just a transition from one life to the next, and then there's this karmic relationship of cause and effect that keeps you kind of tumbling through space and time. But there is a trap door. And by facebook.com/Tito, TitoABAO group, I entitle Reincarnation, A Path to Spiritual Liberation. There is a trap door. You can get out of the physical universe.
Is that something that one would want to do?
Well, that would be up to you. I mean, if you think that you like this back and forth thing of going from lifetime to lifetime without having any understanding of one life before or one life, you know, because not very many people know that they lived before.
Correct.
So you go through your life kind of like with blinkers on. You know how a horse gets blinkers so he can run straight?
Yes.
A human being, as long as he doesn't know about his past lives, he lives life in a very precise way, fulfilling the karmic pattern. See, there's a between-life agreement you get into to come into this universe.
So,
and that between-life agreement gets run out in your life as it unfolds before you.
So, but if you're somehow aware of your previous life, then you can use your present life in order to correct or compensate for what you did before.
Right.
But if you have no knowledge,
you understand how it all works.
But if you have no knowledge, then you can repeat the same foibles over and over again.
Yeah, right.
I see.
Well, that's what actually happens. You know, even in the present life, you probably know men and women who get into the same relationship.
Very much.
They never solve them. They just go from the one person to another, but they encounter the same issues.
Yes, that's true.
And that's the way it is going through life because, pardon?
That's very true, yes.
Right, and that's the dynamic of the whole process of the universe, is that there is no death, but death gives you an ability to draw a veil so that each lifetime is kind of its own story. And you run that story out.
Yeah.
Now, if you awaken spiritually, you expand your consciousness, and you know a lot more how this works.
Yeah. Why can we not all be awakened spiritually so that we can get a handle and improve on humanity?
Because it's the kind of amnesia. Otherwise, you couldn't really... It'd be very difficult to live a life of 100 different identities.
I see.
You'd be very confused.
So
the idea, the mind itself kind of is kind to you.
I see.
So it says to you, okay, this is this life, and you're going to have this life go according to this pattern.
I see.
So as long as you don't disturb that passage and want to know more, you're fine. You just run it out.
I see.
But if you die like I did, and you come under a guidance of a higher power, then it's going to show you some other things. The universe is magnificently, incredibly beautiful.
Tito, why do you think that you were chosen not to to experience the death, and rather to be transformed with knowledge? How does one achieve that level in that case? I mean, why were you picked?
Well, the thing is that it's a matter of grace, because I had no notion of it when I was dying. The voice just said, "Please don't die."
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't ask not to die.
Yeah.
But some higher power asked me not to die.
Uh huh. And is it because you?
Of course, this book is the result.
Right. So perhaps you were chosen so that you could educate.
Well, I think that's what it is. But the thing is that in a narrow sense, all I'm doing is following my inner guidance.
Uh huh. Interesting. All right. So there's we can't go on.
I think this book will help a lot of people if they want to expand their consciousness.
And so the book will help us understand how to do that.
Right, because the book itself is actually your story with a different... You're wearing a different uniform.
I understand.
You are a different person, but the basics of it are the same.
Right, it's almost like DNA.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
We all have different DNA, but we're still human beings.
Right. And you can go different ways with who you are.
When we see each other, we see a different person.
Right.
But the DNA running your engine is the same in everybody.
A lot of people are concerned about the chaos that is taking place in the world as we sit here today. Does this attitude and direction help us cope or understand that?
Yes, because you then realize that all of this is a karmic reaction of cause and effect going back and forth. And unless you look from the trap door, it just goes on forever.
All right. Well, this is
fascinating. There's a thing in the Christian concept that there's going to be an Armageddon, right?
Perhaps.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's their idea.
Supposedly.
Well, that's fine. Okay, the Earth gets blown up.
It's all
interpretation. Everybody dies, but they don't die. They come back because there's going to be another Earth.
Right, so why bother? It's going to be another Earth.
Well, the thing is, just live your life.
Yeah, all right. But you still have to live it respectfully.
Well, that's the whole point of this book, to explain how that you need to really, if you don't want to have all these issues going on that cause suffering.
Yes.
You know, I lost my $1 million estate because of karma.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You just have this cause and effect going on. So the idea is to, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, it's not any more difficult than that.
Well, it sounds rather simplistic when you explain it that way.
Well, it is simple, except that people kind of lose track of the idea because maybe something they want to do is going to get them somewhere.
Gotcha.
But there's a reaction to that. You have to pay for that.
Yes. Well, it's fascinating. Is the book released? Is it available now?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon.com as far as the general online sales. But I would like your audience to ask people in the bookstores to take it.
Yes, definitely. It's the Monograph of the Parallel Life.
It's a very important book.
It sounds like it. It sounds very important. It sounds like a revelation.
Right, because you're headed toward a grand finale. Every lifetime is a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
All right. Well, we all go to the end, but we don't know what happens at the end, and this book helps explain what you've experienced, certainly.
It helps explain it.
All right.
It helps explain it.
May I ask you, your near-death experience, what was the circumstance?
Okay, what happened was I was being worked on. When I went to sleep, I entered a scene in which all these people were working on my body. And then I felt myself leaving my body. And in the back of my mind, I said, oh, I'm dying. It's wonderful. Because it felt really great. And then what happened was, the voice said, please don't die. So there's actually, it's a longer story, but I don't think you have time for it.
Probably not. We're going to have to get the book. That's all. Is there a website, yeah, a website that we can visit?
I like people to go to my facebook.com/TITOABAO. I have a group out there in which we can discuss reincarnation as a path to spiritual liberation.
Great. The Monograph of the Parallel Life of Tito Ebo and Nero, whom there apparently was a connection, and thus this interesting book. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for giving me the time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Tito. Well, there you have it. There you go. That's it for me today. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you join me then? Would you have the courtesy of doing that? I don't ask a lot of you. It's a half an hour. It's not 4 years. It's half an hour. I think you can handle that. I'll try to bring something to the table that's entertaining or thought-provoking or something. So you just got to sit there while I have to come up with all this stuff. So it's really easy for you, difficult for me. Nonetheless, mark it on your calendar. No, now I'll wait. Go mark it on your calendar. Go on. I got time. Go on. Hurry up. Music's ending. Hurry up. All right. Mark it on your calendar. I trust you. I wish you peace.